Caffeine.
Oh, Jimmy.
What do you need?
Caffeine would be amazing right now. Starbucks run in 5 seconds.
Okay, let's come on a Starbucks run and come back and do the show. How come we don't have someone to get Starbucks for us?
Get Richard Dawson over there.
Where's our slave?
She just pointed.
Do we have an intern?
We don't have an intern. Hello and welcome to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. Today's episode brought to you by the Big Bang.
Boom.
Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, and from our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at skepticallyyours.net.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by Joe Swam, go to skepticallyyours.net/live and chat us up right now.
That's right, and please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. Help us stay up there in the top 10. You may also go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or I'll spank you.
That's not a threat.
It isn't?
No, it's kind of hot.
Subscribe now or I won't spank you.
Now you're threatening them.
With a nail-studded 2x4?
Okay, now you're going the other way.
I swing both ways.
You have no idea what you're saying, do you?
If you're a listener who's ever been duped by anything that's been debunked on Snopes, welcome. Your ordeal is over.
We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the daytime, the sun's still up right now.
We're in California.
In the Studio City today-ish and evening-ish, we have Jimmy Palombi and Steve Hernandez. You know these guys from the world of reason.
Reason.
Our timing was good.
Reason.
Reason?
Yeah, we're from the world of reason, whatever the
now
hell
I'm
that
hungry
means.
For a reasons candy. Is that a reasons?
Reason.
Reasons? Mm.
Do I have it right? I don't even know.
Ricin.
Ricin.
Right. It's
now
ricin.
I'm hungry for some ricin. We're going to Breaking Bad now. Welcome, guys. Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
It's good to be here.
I
was driving by and I heard a podcast.
Before the show start, we were pretending to be podcasting when Jimmy walked in. Because normally you get here late.
Yes.
But today you got here early-ish.
It wasn't even early.
It's about respect.
It's a Then why are you usually late?
Well, that's what I mean. You know, you got to show people
the kind of respect that you have for us. Is that what it is?
The show starts. They hold curtains for me.
Disrespect is a kind of respect, I guess.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Thanks for having that kind of respect.
Whatever.
I didn't even tell you when I asked you to come do the show. Jimmy is jumping in. Jimmy's always invited to come be part of the podcast. So every once in a while, I get a text from Jimmy that says something along the lines of, I have no life. What are you doing? And tonight, I said, we have an empty chair. Come on over. Because Stephen Alan Green had originally been booked to do the show, but his ability to get over here from the west side became non-existent, and he wasn't.
He's in Venice Beach, if that's the west side.
That's the west side. That's exactly
the
where
side.
The west side is. And so
I don't know, west, north?
Well, you know, he's a big movie star now. Stephen Alan Green's in a movie. What's the name of the movie?
The Worst Comedian Ever or something like that?
That seems apt. And he's...
I'm glad I showed up.
Apparently when you're in your own movie, no one will give you a ride from Venice.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So maybe we'll get Stephen Alan Green. Because I want to talk to Stephen Alan Green about the he's got a fantastic story about hiring Jerry Lewis to do... Oh. Do you know the story?
No.
Hiring Jerry Lewis to do an appearance on a show, a stage show, just a stand-up set, I think. And he rented a theater and he filled it up, and before the show could start, Jerry Lewis collapsed backstage in his dressing room, and I think they had to whisk him off.
How unfortunate.
Yeah. And to this day, you can find all kinds of posts from Stephen Alan Green on Facebook bitching about how Jerry Lewis owes him $50,000. And that's a story I have to get on this fucking show. So
I think you just told it.
I did. Well, there's, I think, a lot more to it. I want to, you know, as I understand it through secondhand stories, is it seems like Stephen Alan Green doesn't think that he was really hurt. He thinks he was just feigning.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. That's where it gets fucking awesome.
What type of show was it?
What?
A theater show. Oh. A performance.
Why
by
would Jerry Lewis come all the way over there, come backstage, and then feign
collapsing.
Well, now, I've heard many stories about Jerry Lewis, been in his presence one time, and I can...
Ooh, let me touch you. That's
I can tell
fancy.
I heard it was a Jerry Lewis imposter, because if you look at the White Album, there's clues to the fact that Jerry Lewis...
No.
There's a hand over Paul, and that was Jerry.
No, that's... No.
Yeah, he's he is a weird animal. Do you know about Jerry?
Sure, absolutely.
I met him one time.
He's turned into this curmudgeonly throwback guy. He thinks women aren't shouldn't be talking the way they talk today. You know what I mean?
Well, he's just an old man, right?
Yeah.
Isn't this what happens to old men?
You know what? I am stunned.
Emery, is
when
this
I see
what
it happen.
Happens to old men?
I don't know. Let me resort to my... resort.
I'd ask Heather, but there's no point in
getting a
woman's
point of view.
Let me
ask my mirror. I'm always stunned when I see older comics, turn into my grandpa. It pisses me off, you know? You remember a comic I used to hang out with a lot. His initials are Brad Nelson. And in Kansas City. And one day Brad says to me, he goes, it stunned me. It hit me like a wall of just confusion when he said, I don't understand why girls shave their hair down there these days.
Suddenly I'm in love with him, but go on.
No. And tell me if you agree with this then. He goes, guys that are into that, it's pedophilic.
That's not why you agree with it. You agree with it because you don't feel like fucking shaving.
No, I think it's a little bit sick in the head.
I could not disagree more strongly.
I know. We've had this discussion.
Yeah.
But I think that definitely...
Well, then you and Nelson, go fuck that guy. He needs somebody with some bush.
Well...
I saw something on TV.
You don't shave anything.
No.
Of course she shaves.
Yeah.
No, I'm asking.
Yeah, well, I shave my legs, I shave my armpits, and I wax the little lady down below.
You wax the
pussy
hair?
But I leave a nice, fat 70s porn bush, because that's the way I was made.
So you wax around there.
Yeah.
So
clean up the bikini line, clean up the...
Yeah. But all of a sudden, when someone decides that there's something sexy about removing the rest of it, it's pedophilic, honestly? Is that your argument?
I think that... I don't know. I don't really have an argument for it. Me, I was touched as a little girl, so it's kind of offensive to me if somebody needs for me to be completely
I'm pretty
bald
sure
in
Brad
order
Nelson,
to get stimulated.
I would argue that that guy doesn't exist. I think that that's a complete fallacy, what you just said.
I don't think so.
I do. I don't... I'm
venturing a guess that
I don't believe in shaving it, but I believe in combing it.
Combing.
It's got to be styled correctly.
Well, I saw the comb over.
I just think that's bullshit. I think any guy that... If you put a girl in front of a guy and the girl says, here's my parts, go at it, I don't care what's down there, the guy's going to be like, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. That's basically how men work.
Oh, well, I'm so honored in that case.
That's
what
how men,
was I thinking?
That's how men work. Men aren't... never once have I... And I'm offended by the fucking suggestion, by the way, by his suggestion and the one you just leveled. Mm. The suggestion that... all of a sudden,
this is what
because
all the
some
time on
all,
this
the
show.
Time. All of a sudden, because
I'm not even
I'm trying
on
to figure
camera.
Out what the argument
yeah, we don't
is
even talk about
is anybody arguing
yet.
About anything?
Yeah,
no,
she
we're
and I
just
are.
Speaking in loud voices.
Well,
she said
because
she was touched as a young person, she doesn't, and a guy wants her to do it, that it affects her.
Well,
doesn't she have the right to
well, let
be
me
affected
ask you that.
By that?
Have you been in a relationship where a guy demanded it?
Not demanded. That's ridiculous. Of course, anybody's going to fuck you. It doesn't matter.
You just painted that picture, Sam.
I didn't. I
yes,
said that I think it's a little bit sick and twisted.
You're in control
and
of the thing.
Need it in order to get...
Need it in order to get... Is
in order to
that
get
picture,
aroused.
And is painting that picture. Now, have you been with a guy...
In your head, it's painting that picture.
Have you been with a guy who needed it to be shaved
that
in order to get aroused?
That was his very hard-line preference, yes.
A very hard-line preference.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have sex with him with hair?
Yeah, also.
And he was able to get aroused?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm telling you, I think that you're badly miscategorizing this discussion. By saying hyperbolic...
I don't think I categorized any part of this discussion. And all I said from the beginning was that I do think in my teeny little one-person brain that it's a little bit fucking sick when people want to have baldos all the time.
On that we can
baldos.
Agree.
Baldos. That's fine.
On that we can agree. Teeny one-person brain. Now moving on.
I saw...
Does everyone know I love Sam,
God
by the way?
God damn it.
No.
I'm shaving right now. I'm shaving as we sit here.
I'm shaving you.
Heather?
No, on Bullshit, they had a thing about hair. It was a topic about hair, and some porn star had a female shaving device that she was that was promoted on the show.
An FSD.
I guess.
He just made up three letters.
And it came with decals so that you could put the little heart, like a little heart shape up to your crotch and shave around it and make a heart or like, you know, cherries or something. I don't know. And that's all I want.
I demand
to
the letter J.
What was the perspective? what was the perspective of that episode? Do you remember?
I'm saying the hair is overrated.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, I'm just thinking, it's like lingerie. Like, I don't really care.
Yeah, I don't either.
Like, that's interesting sometimes.
I've been with women who shave it completely bald. I've been with women who leave a landing strip. I've been with women who put shapes in it.
Don't point at me.
He's pointing at me.
Yeah.
Emery's been with at least six women by that
calculation.
It's the Matt same Kirsten one. Joins the show for 5 seconds. Actually, that's the first time I can use this phrase accurately. That was Matt Kirsten momentarily. That's exactly right. That's the everyone uses the word momentarily wrong, by the way. Well, not everyone.
Not everyone. Teller
doesn't.
Oh, my
God. Son
of
a bitch.
No, I disagree with you on this one. I just think in America, momentarily means something different to what it means in Britain, which might be the original meaning, but now it's changed sufficiently in America that you're using it correctly when you use it to mean in a moment. In Britain, it means for a moment. In America, it means in a moment. So also, what I'm doing now is making the first thing you said inaccurate.
Not true. I know what you're up to, son of a bitch. God damn. So there were two momentary visits from Matt there. All right, let's get to our guests.
Well, it's about fucking time.
Now, Steve, let me ask you this. Do you shave?
Yeah.
That's a good question,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, I shave my balls, yeah.
I do, too. I do, too. Right? No, I'm a cold. We're not high-fiving.
I style mine.
You style yours.
Style
you, yeah, do you perm it?
It's a dry weave.
He puts a straightener on so he won't be gay.
That sounds stingy.
It does, right? Yeah, I shave the balls. I
why
prefer
does this make me feel uncomfortable?
I guess women talk about they're shaving their things more than it comes up with guys.
Yeah.
I don't know really why I shave it. I haven't been with a woman that likes to give blowjobs in like so long.
You haven't?
Wow, yeah. I'm sorry.
Really?
Years and years and years, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a drag.
Maybe they just don't like
have
to
you
give
tried
you
guys? Guys like to suck usually.
Oh, the best blowjob I ever got was from a guy.
Okay,
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it was amazing. I was at a pornography shop. This was years ago. This is before the internet.
Yeah.
And so I would. I remember I would quit being a pastor, and so I would. I was working at a screen printing place. And then on the way home, there was like a porn shop, and I remember I bought like a couple of tall boys, and I drank them in the porn shop parking lot. Mm-hmm. And
is this your first gay encounter or bi encounter?
I don't remember. I had cool. some. I don't think so.
Buying okay. a couple
I
tall boys, that is that point. Two gentlemen? Or
is just some beer I wanted to get a buzz on. And I went into the, before you guys remember, before the internet, you would go to these video arcades and
right.
things. And you would pay money. And or people did. You may not have, Jim. But I went and I was watching it. And this older good-looking guy in, like, a suit came in. So, you know, I didn't think anything. He's like, do you mind if I'm in here? I'm like, nah, you know. I was just jacking it. Having somebody else around, that seemed, like, a little more exciting. But then after a while, he was just like, you know, can I suck your dick? And I was like, I have a joke about this.
Yeah.
So I don't want to. Yeah, the joke is.
I'll tell you mine, too.
This is the line. I build all this up a little differently, but then I let it go quiet right there. And I said, this is the joke. Is at that point, I had a choice. Did I want to go through the rest of my life knowing that I was 100% for sure heterosexual, or did I want to get my dick sucked? And I usually do.
You don't
a lot.
Have to preface jokes. You can just do them here. No one's going to give you shit.
As a comedian, though, I feel silly.
No one's
going to
give you shit.
But yeah, I usually let it go way slower than that, too. And then people go crazy. So
I had a real encounter that I went and turned into a joke. The punchline's not accurate at all. It didn't happen. But when I was in New Orleans and I was on a college tour, there were coins to go in the booths all the time. Everywhere you went, there were coins available. And they're giving out 4 or 5 so that you get, you know, that's how it's kind of like the first hit of crack, right? And so finally, I'm like, all right, I'm going to try out one of these. I'd done it in New York one time in my life. I'd been in one of those booth things. But I went into this thing, and this was different than the New York experience, it was a circular thing with a glass cover that came up and down and one performance in the middle. But in New Orleans, it was separate booths with walls between them. And there were holes cut out in the walls on the right and left where people could be, like, look at you. And so that was weird. I'm 23 or 24, never done anything gay or bi at this point other than have fun with my uncle inappropriately when he was being a dickhead. So at that point, I thought I was completely straight, just for the record. I can't really do this bit anymore because it's not accurate to who I've become. You know what I mean? But I'm sitting there, and I actually, you know, I unzip my pants, and I'm watching this movie. It's not a live performance.
Slow it down a little bit.
I'm watching this movie, and I unzip my pants, and my cock's out, and I'm stroking, and all of a sudden, I hear something from the little hole in the wall. Do you know this story, Heather?
I believe I've heard it before.
And I hear this guy go, "Put it in the hole." And
he was watching golf. I don't know. Who knows?
And I could see some lips there, and I'm like, no. And I'm a polite Midwestern kid.
Are you
really
going to bite down?
And I'm trying not to be a jerk, and I'm trying to, you know, win in Greece, right? And I turn, and I see these lips there, and I'm like, I'm not into that. Thanks, though. I appreciate the offer. You know, I'm trying to be polite. And he goes, "Come on, put it in the hole." And I go, "No, really, I'm not, I don't do that." He goes, "You'll get used to it." I swear he said that. And I'm like,
which is true.
Oh, I know now. But as a young kid, I'm like, I don't think I would get used to that. And I said, "Really, I appreciate the offer. You're really kind to offer to suck my dick, but I'm going to have to say no thank you if you'll just please leave me alone." And now I can't even stay hard because there's a guy with his mouth up to a hole next to me. So I get out and leave, and I go to a different booth where there isn't anybody else, and I finish the job. And I felt fucking guilty for truly, like, because you're sitting there doing what you said. You're like, "This is a tough decision. I'm wanting to come, and that would probably do it quicker. And I'm not sure I want to go gay just for that right now." And I felt guilty. I'm not even Catholic. Here's the bit. And I went to confession. "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." It's been, well, I've never, ever been in a confessional, but I have sinned. I considered having a homosexual encounter in a booth with a man.
"You'll get used to it." It's the key line in that story.
Oh, dude, is it
that's
not?
That's really the best
it's
line.
It's really great. Oh, I hit the wrong button. Now we're gonna roll out of here, and we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable irritation.
Good news, everyone.
That's right. We have a premium ad-free service. We do the show for 90 minutes, and you'll be able to listen to the live show and or download the first hour free from iTunes. That's how it's always been. The premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute ad-free show. It's only $10 per year. If you want to support us, please go to SkepticallyYours.net/premium and subscribe. 1 out of every 5,000 babies are born without an anus. That's really just evolution responding to the Catholic priest issue.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, We give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs. But we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Jimmy Palombi and Steve Hernandez. Thanks for being here, guys.
Hello.
Steve Hernandez.
I want to make sure we don't forget to talk about corporal punishment. That's the topic. Were you warned we were going to talk about this at all?
No, nobody was warned about topics. I wanted to tell a story about when I had a divorce party.
This doesn't sound like it's going to be as interesting as the...
Well, you guys were talking about glory holes and stuff.
Okay, I'm in. Let's do it.
Encounter. It's not anything special except for the fact that I rented a hotel, the kind that had the special rooms, like the jungle room and the
Madonna Inn.
Yeah.
The kind that rents by the hour.
Yeah, but we were, no. This was like a honeymoon suite type place.
Okay.
And so it was nothing special. It was just me and five other girls on ecstasy.
Oh,
what?
Nice. You had like a five-way on X with girls?
Yeah, and they bought me a strap-on dildo, my very first one.
Okay. Oh, my God.
For my divorce party.
That's fantastic.
I call it
they were like, this is what we always do.
I call it the vat of women. Because there was a huge hot tub at the end of the bed. It was like at the head of the bed. So all you had to do was like lay in the bed and just kind of weasel your way backwards and then you fall in the tub.
I'll be divorced soon.
Oh
so
my God.
If you want to have one of those parties.
And they were all strippers. So how lucky am I?
Oh my God.
Yeah, that story's not as good as our story.
Yeah, I know, right?
I guess not.
What part of all girls did you miss, Jimmy?
Well, I can, you know, that's part of, you know, what if I really, well, you know, the whole thing.
Maybe if you shave your balls. But
she
one
means
thing
off.
About.
Shave your balls
yes, off.
Slice.
One thing that people may not know about five girls in strap-ons all having sex with me is that could send you potentially to the hospital in the morning because.
Why?
Because. You got five girls pounding on you on ecstasy with a fucking.
Did you go to the hospital?
No, but I was in pain for like days.
Really?
Oh my
yeah,
God.
Days.
And you didn't feel the pain the night before?
No, but in the morning when I woke up, my whole body was cramped up and I was doubled over for hours.
Damn.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a little flower.
I'm sensitive.
She is. She is.
That's but it was fun. It was
wow.
a lot of fun.
That sounds like it was worth it.
Yeah, no
yeah.
kidding.
Yeah, it's memories that I'll never forget.
Were you the only one in pain?
Yes.
Okay.
Because everyone was, it was my party, so everyone was doing me.
So you were getting pounded with the strap on by all the girls?
Yes.
This
oh
is
my
the coolest
God.
Thing ever.
Yeah, right?
Sounds so cool.
My poor friend, one of my poor friends got really upset because she wasn't invited, but we didn't want to invite her because she was kind of bitchy.
Oh.
Like one of those bitchy girls that complained and whined about everything. And
was there hair on the strap on?
And then she just complained and whined about not being invited?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just kind of like, you know, didn't say much and kind of.
That's a good question.
Ignored her.
Yeah, there's no hair. There's no hair on the strap-on.
No, there's no hair.
You
on
never
the
see a strap-on with
there's
hair.
There's veins on the strap-on.
That was a good country song too. Willie
and
Nelson's
what size was that? What size was this dildo?
It was like an average size, you know, maybe what? 6 inches.
Just an average man.
Just an average size. Yeah. She's her
average
foot is
size
like,
dildo.
Her fingers are a
average
foot apart.
Size dildo. Six.
Well, there's
seven.
No flaccidity.
But
to
I don't
the,
think it
that's
was.
Why.
I think it was a
right,
harder.
Right.
A harder.
Harder substance.
Yeah, it wasn't like...
it wasn't a flesh dildo.
Kevlar.
They didn't have those back then.
There was no such thing as those.
No, there wasn't
they were wooden back then, weren't they? Wooden and
back
stone.
Back in those days.
With nails sticking out.
Granite.
George Washington had a wooden dildo.
Wooden dildo.
Oh, my God. He stored it in the drawer next to his teeth.
Splinters.
I want to hear about your podcast, Steve.
Oh, it's just a podcast. It's called Respect the Danger of Knives. It's real fun. We just interview other comedians. It's really good, though.
It's kind of like this show.
No, it's not.
Not at all.
You guys are freaks, man. Yeah. I love it. I'm usually the biggest freak in the room, so I'm a little taken aback.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, you're not the biggest
Now,
freak.
When I saw the name, and before the show, I'm going to tell the listeners just so they know.
You're going to tell the story the show, of this non-story?
Well, the first thing I thought of, this is my take on it. I presume you don't even address it on the show, but Respect the Danger of Knives is the name of the show.
Sounds violent.
And the first time I read that, I was like, okay, that's an interesting name for a podcast. I'm very much interested in knowing how you got that name. And so before the show started, I won't bug you with it. I said to Steve, I was like, what is the story behind the name? And he was literally going, it's really boring. You don't want to hear it. I don't. And that made me go, fuck, I don't. The hell I don't.
And then here's the story, and you guys will see that I was right.
No, you weren't right, Steve Hernandez.
This is, I used to work at TGI Fridays in West Covina, and there was a safety poster in the back.
And there was a hole cut in it, and you were jacking off with a dildo and five other girls.
And the safety poster said, respect the danger of knives, and I just said, oh, that's great, and I just stored it away.
It's really a great sentence.
I was podcasting before.
So it was between that and Lavis Las Manos? Lavis? I don't know how to say it.
The show's changed on the sign.
The sign always
oh,
says,
wash your hands?
Wash your hands, yeah.
Lavase las manos.
Say it again.
Lavase las manos.
Oh, it's lavase. I always said lavis.
Lavase. Lavase.
Well, do you speak Spanish?
No.
None?
No.
You got the look.
I know.
Oh.
You got the
that
look.
Sucks, essay.
Yeah, I know.
There's no USA without you,
I'm just, essay. Yeah, I'm just starting to come to terms with accepting myself as a Mexican, even though I don't speak Spanish.
Are you a self-loathing Mexican?
Oh, no. I love it, but I feel you feel rejected by the community if you don't speak Spanish.
As sure, oh, I if bet. You don't speak Spanish. Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You don't feel that people will say, like, oh, you're not a real Mexican.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But they say it in Spanish, so you don't know what they're saying.
They do the same thing with me. You're not really black. You know,
what
they
the
do that
fuck
with
is that about?
You don't speak black.
I don't.
<'cause it's> not,
I don't.
It's not true. The fact is, you're not really white.
I'm.
See what I did there?
I'm both.
It. Why do we do that? We all do that bullshit. I hate that.
You're not a real cracker?
No, I'm not. I'm not anything. I'm a confused bisexual.
You should talk better about yourself. You shouldn't.
What do you mean?
You said you're not anything.
Well, no, I'm. I'm not a fan of the whole in-group labeling. I suppose.
Tribalism.
I'm an atheist, I guess. Yeah, tribalism. At least when it turns into that kind of thing, where it's like.
You know, a lot of it might have been in my head, too, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of it is to, you know, if first-generation Mexicans that don't really speak English,
yeah.
They think that I'm being uppity, or a lot of times they would think that I'm not speaking Spanish on purpose,
right.
If they don't know me. So it's just those kind of
Lopez,
things.
Lopez won me over for life when I watched him live one day doing a set about how, and I don't remember any of the jokes per se, I only remember the arc of ideas that was profound. It was, I felt like I was watching... an inspirational speech more than a bit. Although it was funny all the way through, he always is funny in my opinion.
Did he ask you to give him money? Was it a pyramid scheme involved in
this? No, none of that. But he was doing his bit about going back home and how everybody tries to keep you down and everybody's like, don't forget where you came from, man. And worst impression there. And talking shit about how he's rich and successful and famous now and he goes home and everybody back home is always trying to make him feel guilty
about it,
for
yeah.
being successful and how dangerous and awful that is and how fundamentally insidious it is and how it's really a reflection of the failure of someone's life when they throw that shit at you. And I teared up watching Lopez do that, and I went, that's the guy I want to see on TV. I do not want to see fucking the shit comedy that comes out of I can't think of the guy's name because I blocked it.
James.
No, there's a comic
Kevin James.
That does Hispanic comedy.
Carlos Mencia.
Yeah. He's fucking awful. he's just a stereotype spewing jagoff. And there's no message there for anybody, for whites, for Mexicans. There's no message at all. The only message from him is, I'll steal from you.
Yeah.
Whereas Lopez is loaded with really good messages for everybody in the community.
Well, with minorities as well as women, really, too. But
absolutely.
I think that women. The frontier is just wide open to do some really interesting stuff in the next in the coming years.
Absolutely.
Because everyone could produce their own stuff. But with women comedians, I you know, I know a lot. Some of my favorite ones are women. But it's like rock and roll in the early 60s for them because there's just so much territory for them to explore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know. And luckily, I'm Mexican, too, so I'm in that boat, too.
Yeah,
I'm
no
not
kidding.
Like you Mexican whiteys. Women. So boring. We've been hearing your stories for so long.
Yeah. Are they getting boring?
At least you're bisexual. That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Well, you know,
funny
I'm
story. The other day I was at Starbucks after going to the Gap, and I was met this guy.
You know, when I saw you do your performance at, what was the place?
Did I mention that I was polyamorous in that?
No.
Oh, yeah.
We're polyamorous.
We're poly, too.
Well, I don't know what I am anymore because I'm rising like a phoenix out of the ashes of a divorce.
Hey.
That hasn't. So it's been like 6 months since I've moved out.
Right.
So I don't know what I'm going to do in the future, but I buy into like most of that way of thinking, although I don't know if I can make it work for me.
Well, practically. Are you in a relationship with someone who considers themselves to be open or bi?
When my wife and I got married, we were, that's what we decided, and that was what we were going into it, but it slowly, she wanted a more traditional marriage.
Not uncommon.
Yeah.
Not uncommon
is
at all.
Is this pre or post pastorhood?
That was past.
Man, that is a whole other show. I can't wait to have you on Argue Atheist.
Oh, yeah.
And
I still love
that.
All that. I love theology. And I come up with new theology based on the Bible stuff all the time. That's like that's like a hobby of mine. I don't really buy into that idea of what God is, but I do like to come up with ideas that would help some of that stuff make more sense.
As hard as it's going to be for me, I am not going to ask you what you believe. I can't wait to do that on Ardent Atheist, and we'll make the listeners wait for that as well. So we're going to do another break right now, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption. Have you heard of our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist?
Have you?
Well, you have now. Go check it out, www.ardentatheist.com. There is a phenomenon called Dunning-Kruger effect. Yes, the Dunning-Kruger effect. It means the less people know, the more they think they know. Did you know that, Heather?
I think so. Mm. Hey!
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Jimmy Palombi and Steve Hernandez.
I was going to say earlier, but... you know what happens when I try to talk. that...
Are you being overtly aggressive?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Why is it... I think there's plenty of times for you to jump in here.
I will.
Sometimes Heather, at the end of the show,
I
by... frustrated.
Yeah,
I know. And I feel really bad about it.
I know. She just can't get in.
I don't understand why it's...
No.
I try to invite her in all the time, and then... Yeah. And
we like the woman's point. Usually you're the only girl.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think of Heather's not being able to talk, Steve?
I love it.
Go ahead, baby. We're doing a bit.
But seriously, the other day...
Oh, my God!
Hey-ho.
I was surprised when I saw you at the comedy club talking about your bisexuality. I just... My eyes went wide open, and I went, oh, this is kind of awesome, because you don't... You know, you don't fit a stereotype gay guy or bi guy or whatever. And I was like, he's awesome. I got to get him on the show because he'll be an interesting person to talk to.
Yeah. No, I've just recently started... I don't know if I would. I guess there's different kinds of bisexuality. I'm kind of a freak, so I think I would. I like if I'm in a like a weird situation, I'll do it. But I don't find myself particularly attracted to men.
I'm with you. I mean, you and I are.
Oh,
I
is that how
probably
you, is that
the
how
same
you do
kind
that too?
Of, I call myself bisexual because I have sex sometimes with men.
Yeah.
For me, that's bisexual, and I think that the sexual options. The sexual choices. There is a smorgasbord out there, and you can go get the chickpeas, or you can go have the hummus. You can have as much of any of those things
as
you
want. There's
food
in bisexuality?
Oh, fuck me. You can eat them right off my ass.
Oh, and so,
I only have sex with hummus. What do you call that?
It's getting a
hummus.
Hummus sexuality.
I was waiting for
sexuality. Why didn't I think of it? I'm sick. I'm sick with fever.
Dayquil.
I'm on Dayquil. And I don't know if you can tell, listeners, but I am so fucking fucked up. My voice is probably going to be blown out by the end of this.
Penn likes the purple drink.
Oh, he does use the... what's that stuff called? It's not Dayquil. There's another one.
I use Mucinex.
Is it Theraflu?
Oh, Theraflu is awesome.
I don't think it's Theraflu. I think it's something his doctor prescribes him that's specifically for... his type of ailment. He gets sick a lot. He gets like the throat thing.
Well, he's a goddamn Yeti. You're going to get sick a lot when you're a goddamn Yeti. That's a fact.
He jumps around on mountains?
Yes. He hides in the woods.
I don't think when I think about that comedy, I don't think I talk about having sex with guys.
This is bugging you, isn't it?
I'm interested. Now I'm trying to figure something out for myself.
Sure you are.
Because you're, you know, you refer
you came across
as bisexual.
As bisexual to her when she saw you do
comedy.
Yeah,
but I didn't. I talk about having sex with guys, but I didn't say that I enjoyed it.
That's okay.
Yeah.
One time.
Well, you talked about
that's abuse,
well,
I think.
First of all, you talked about it openly on stage,
really,
and it was matter of fact to you. It wasn't like, oh my God, I fucked this homo one time, and I can't believe I did that. It was just like, well, this happened, and so...
It sounded like you owned it to her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I did own it.
You know, one time, and I'm not trying to side...
No, no, you're okay, we'll get back.
Why I want to come to this, but this is poignant to that. One time, Hunter S. Thompson was being interviewed, I think maybe Rolling Stone, doesn't matter where, but somebody said, you know, you do all of the stuff you've written seems to... glorify drugs. Does that concern you at all? Is that something that you think about? And Hunter was like, I don't know if you've ever read anything I've ever written, but there isn't a single sentence I've ever written that glorifies the horrific things that happens to me when I'm on drugs.
Right.
So I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. It's really great. And I think your story made me think of that, especially when you said that you said you didn't enjoy it.
Yeah,
you didn't say you.
That was a great Johnny Depp impression.
But when I'm just talking about this, I'm trying to work through this with myself right now, presently.
Well, my friend,
I have had.
Thank you for sharing.
I have had sex with guys, and I have enjoyed it. Then, so I wonder if I think I don't like the bisexual label just because you just have to work through so much stuff.
It carries
so much baggage with it.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to.
But it's good-looking baggage. Those guys really can carry a nice suitcase.
I know it doesn't have to, but even when I was married and we were polyamorous and I would talk about it after a while, and you guys probably would know this, but you seem like you've just thrown yourself in the light. After a while, you're just tired of talking about it. Is that ever happened to you?
No.
Is polyamorous sex with parrots? I don't follow.
We don't have sex with our parrot. No.
I can't.
But you know, maybe
I will talk about it till. I mean, if you come to my deathbed, I'll be just going, tell everybody it's okay to suck a cock once in a while.
Maybe.
You know that joke? How do you know if somebody's vegan? Don't worry, they'll tell you. Yeah, yeah. How do you know if somebody's polyamorous?
Don't worry, they'll tell you.
Maybe that's part of why my marriage didn't work out, because my wife wanted it, but I don't know how much she was into the idea of it from the beginning. I thought she was. I mean, we swang for a year, and she was bisexual, and then we found polyamory afterwards, and I was, like, really into the ideas and everything, and she kind of claimed to be, too, but it would be different.
She was. Yeah. Let me be clear.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Based on my experiences, you're describing my experiences. She was into it. One of the things that happens to us as individuals when we go through life is we start realigning our goals and needs and wants and desires. It happens. It's absolutely human. And it changes. We evolve into different evolve into different beings that want and need different things. That's why the divorce rate's so high, in my opinion. Mm. I don't think we're going to see a different divorce rate in the gay community than we see in the straight married community. And I don't think that the polyamorous are going to be any more successful at maintaining long-term relationships than heterosexual, you know, average, everyday married
fucks. It's tough. It's not easy.
It's, yeah. We all have the same problems to deal with.
People change.
And one of those problems is people change.
And I guess we just have to let go of the idea of something having to last forever for it to be good.
Yeah, no, I think the opposite is true sometimes, more often than not. I mean, really. The sit down at any point that you can, find a 70-year-old couple and sit down with them and ask them to tell you why this long life relationship was so perfect. And for 20 minutes, you will think that they had the perfect life. But about 30 minutes in, you'll start to realize most of it fucking sucked.
They'll probably tell you that from the beginning.
Yeah, well, usually they sugarcoat the shit out of things. But if you get a couple of goddamn, you know, Bloody Marys in them, the next thing you know, you find out they fucking hate each other. Neither one of them touched each other's genitals in the past 25 years.
Right.
Fuck that shit.
Well, I'm glad I ran into you guys. I was ready to throw the polyamory stuff out the door.
No.
Well, maybe. I mean, we'll see.
It's also spreading.
I think you're going down the wrong road.
It's becoming more common. It's becoming more accepted.
Spreading. Contagious.
So, yeah, I don't think you should throw anything out the door. I think that you should...
Put it in the hole.
You get used to it.
And it's also about, you know, the person that you're doing it with, you guys coming to terms and agreeing with how you're going to
work it.
Yeah, how you're going to do it and how you're going to come with it. And, you know, because it's not all the same. Not every poly relationship has the same, I guess, air quotes, rules of the relationship.
You define your own. Everyone defines your own. There's no rule book.
Yeah.
I guess I just feel really guilty right now because she was a quiet person and she didn't communicate well, so... I feel like I ended up running over her for this like last year, even though that's just what I was doing from the beginning.
Well, are you still friends with her?
No, we haven't spoken or texted in 6 months.
Wow. So. Well, maybe that'll change. You know, maybe you can.
We'll see.
Talk
I don't know if
her.
She's that kind of person. I hope so. I mean, my family still loves her. They always hang out. No loyalty for my family. I'll tell you that much. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But does she speak Spanish?
No, she's white. Oh, wow. She's white as the day is long.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beautiful white.
Bueno, yo so también. Pero qué pasa? Que no hablas español.
There's pasta in the pan?
What?
Oh, but yeah, I'm glad. I like talking about that gay stuff. And I like the way I look. I play up the way I look. I bought a Raiders jacket recently.
You're very, very masculine. You know what I mean?
I bought a Raiders jacket recently, and it was out of like, and I don't like sports at all, but yeah. I just like to look this way. And then I also mostly talk about sex on stage. I just like that stuff. But I love talking about having sex with women and then talking about having sex with guys. It's fun.
It fucks people up. Yeah, it's what?
There's no question an audience doesn't know what to do with it, and if you own it, it's going to really work well, in my opinion.
And I'm just getting good enough. I've only been doing it coming up on 4 years. I'm just getting good enough now where I can do interesting things. I tried to do it at first, and it's just terrifying.
Yeah.
Well, you look good on stage. I mean, you really carry yourself well.
Oh, thank you.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, no, I'm a good comedian. I'm gonna go all the way, guys.
I thought you were very good.
I'm gonna deliver the goods.
Now, there's an element of sexuality in many of the Spanish cultures that blew my fucking mind. Now, it sounds like you weren't really raised with Spanish culture ideals.
No,
there is this thing where And I think Sam might be able to help me out with this.
Like Spain Spanish?
Well, no. Many of the Mexicans, I think, do this too. If two guys do something sexual, the gay one is the one doing stuff.
He's the bottom.
Right. A bottom is gay, but the top is not.
Necessarily,
right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't so. In other words, there's this weird.
Like I was in prison for 2 years, so I fucked him in the ass. But I'm not gay. I had a girl the whole time.
Yeah. But
I would think that would be, you know, for a lot of cultures, not just
But there's definitely something in the Latin culture. I don't know. I mean, oh God, here I go.
What's going on? Uh-oh. Well, we have to preface that with Sam spent many years in Lima, Peru.
And many years working in the food service industry here in the United States of America.
Fully sexually harassed.
My girlfriend's Mexican.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
You should have her on here and talk about her sex life.
So does she know that if you're a top, you're not gay?
it's side by side.
Okay.
Have you guys talked about that, though?
No, actually. No, I've never heard that before.
We should go back home and tell us what she says.
Get my telephone.
That's so funny.
I don't understand what she's saying anyway. It's Mexican.
We'll take some pictures so she can see what we're talking about. Anyway, Sam, did you have more to add to that?
Maybe. Do I want to put my foot in my mouth? All right, why not?
No. Do you feel like I attack you every time you talk?
No, not at all.
Oh, good.
No. Mostly because I'm about to say something that's probably completely ignorant, and I'm not Latina. Like,
see, that's what I like about you. You're willing to say completely.
I am totally willing to say completely
stupid things on a regular basis.
Definitely. There's something really fiery and passionate and sexual about Latin culture, just from a completely stereotypical, broad-stroke cultural standpoint. And I think that, like, look at the tango, for example. Is there enough? Like, I'm this white girl in Argentina dancing the tango, and this guy is, like, enveloping you and dipping you, and you're close, and you can feel his heartbeat, and then the song's over, and he's got you bent over backward, and his lips are really close to your lips.
You need a tissue.
Again, you guys are going way too fast.
And the song ends, and he goes, all right, thank you for the dance.
What?
And walks away, and you're like, wait, this one? But you,
the hell?
I have blue labia, right? Like, I don't even know what's happening right now.
Blue labia.
And
labia
just,
azul.
And they walk away from it like, oh, but that we were just dancing. Like, we're just dancing.
No.
We're just salsa dancing. Oh, we're just dancing close with strangers. But yes, this happens.
There's dancing is an audition to fuck.
For white guys from the United States of America, but not necessarily for everybody else in the world at all.
I've had this discussion.
You need to stop dancing with gay guys.
No, I don't. They're amazing dancers.
They dance right.
All of them, every last one.
Every last one.
So half of you must dance well.
And the other half knows how to salsa, so he's fine.
He has two right feet.
I just recently found a good dancing partner. I haven't had one in like 10 years.
Yeah.
There's got to be, in a dancing partner, there's got to be a little bit of like something going on.
Right.
You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be full on. In fact, to keep that partner, you may not want to have that, but you've got to be willing to look each other in the eyes. And I think I found her.
Oh,
yeah?
Cool.
Yeah, so yeah.
Sounds like new things are coming along.
No, I'm not ready for any of that. I am just crushing tons of 22-year-old pussy right now.
Yeah?
Yeah, tons of it. Too much. Nice. It's not that good, though.
If it's tons.
No, they don't. Most of them don't know their bodies yet.
Yeah,
so they don't know how to have an orgasm or anything. Yeah. What fun is it if you're just, at some point, it's just, they're hurting.
Yeah.
They're agonizing. So I've just got to back up away from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really...
All those tight, hard bodies.
Well, you got into comedy for a good reason. So the bisexual thing, man, I'm anxious to spend more personal time talking with you about this.
Sure.
And I think I really want to see our culture start to stop shying away from identifying honestly about what we are. That's what I wish, both atheist and sexually. If you're a non-believer, if you're an agnostic, I think it's so important to let the world know that
everybody,
there are a lot more of us
out
there. That's exactly right. And if you're bisexual, I feel the same way. I think it's important
Just into different things, not necessarily bisexual, just into...
I'm being challenged right now for myself, so when I'm hearing about this stuff, so it's something I definitely need to think about.
Yeah. All right, cool. So we'll get you out of the closet before the end of the show. All right, you're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission.
And now a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to some of our listeners.
Adun, Carl Barrett, Some Bunny, MJ, One Setter, Herbie Reagan, Six Ball, Wendy.
Six Ball.
I know. Paradilla.
You got to figure out how to say that.
I don't know. Emery Makes Dave Moist.
Oh, my
Joe
God.
Joe Swam and Cameron
Someone
Winters.
Called
These were some of the names
what
of the people.
What is wrong with you people?
Chatting in the Skeptic Tank during the last
Fucking
show.
Emery Makes Dave Moist.
It's Thanks Adam. For being there, everybody.
What was that a reference to? Who did that?
I don't know.
That's Adam. And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Jimmy Palombi and Steve Hernandez. He's not bi. Thanks for being here, everybody. that was really interesting.
What else can we pull out of this guy?
I mean, Heather walked away with that sense about you being seeming to communicate that to her as an audience member.
Nobody does anything really like that at all.
No, they
so
don't.
So I didn't say that. I do, and I talked to a gay friend about it because I said a part. And I don't. God, now I'm wondering. I said that it was gross in the joke, and then I had to change that because a gay friend talked to me about it, and she told me, you know, people have been hearing that gay sex is gross for a long time, so even though it was gross to you at that time, like, maybe you can come up with a new way to say that, and I was challenged by that.
Can I respond to that?
Yeah.
I think that telling the truth about what the experience felt like, if it's the truth.
Yeah.
I think that nobody should deter you from telling that truth. I think that what they should be inviting you to do is to explain what's wrong with that, what informed that, and whether or not that's no longer true. That, I think, is even more powerful than just whitewashing away the truth.
Yeah, well,
that's my opinion of
that. Yeah, I was, you know, I was talking to her about that, and I was challenged by that. But then through talking to her more about it, she was like, I realized that she had had sex with guys for a long time, and how gross that must have been for her.
Did she say that?
We were talking about that. Right. And she said, you know, they've always said that our sex is gross, but, you know, I was having sex with, you know, guy. I had a sex with for a guy for a long time, and it wasn't good and anything. And I was like, oh, so, because I couldn't get away from the fact that, especially that sex that I'm talking about, it was pretty gross. Like, I've had good experiences, but a lot of it was gross to me because it just was gross. You could have gross sex, you know?
When I was a teenager, it was Midwestern style instilled in me that any guy coming near me with his cock is gross. That was part of my indoctrination to human behavior. And despite the fact that from 5 till 14, 9 years, I was molested by an uncle, and at no point during that process did I feel like that was gross. That was just my uncle having sexual relations inappropriately with me and me getting to come a bunch. And so when I became a teenager, I did take on that masculine vest that they throw on you, that hair coat that they cover you in. And I was afraid of bisexual or gay contact for many years. And it took me a long time to realize that all of those things, none of those things are gross. You can have a gross encounter with anybody of any sex, but but the act itself, if it's something that you psychologically and emotionally are equipped for, will never be gross.
Yeah,
well,
you know what I'm saying.
I feel like genitalia is gross in general.
That's interesting.
I was never the type of girl that was like, oh my God, look at that cock.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's beautiful.
A squirrel.
I was that kind of girl.
It's weird looking. And also, vaginas are funny looking. It's all weird to me.
So I put a hat on mine.
I hope so. I'm used to genitalia now, you know, for the most part. But in general, I don't look at genitalia and go, oh my God, look at that. It's so gorgeous. It's all kind of weird to me and all kind of gross to me.
Sure, yeah.
I think it's all beautiful.
Me too.
I think it's all fucking gorgeous.
Oh, well, yeah. Good. Good for you.
Let me show you something, Heather.
Gross.
Yeah, Jimmy. No. So that was an interesting thing I could do because I told her, she said, don't say. I was like, well, it was gross to me. At the time, so right. I have to say that.
Right.
But if I'm thinking about your experience, how gross it must have been. I feel sad for you and how gross it must have been for you to have this man that you're, I mean, you're not attracted to men. So I'm trying to spin that into something to make both of our things true. Because she's right, but it's not going to take away from the fact that that's how I felt as well.
Yeah, I don't think that I don't think any of us as artists or as writers or as comics should be pushed into the darkness by the PC. ideals of the liberal, the illiberal position. And I think it is ill in many cases.
I totally agree with you in all this. And in this instance, too, I could, if I didn't like her so much and trust her as a comedian as well, and if I couldn't come up with anything, but I started thinking about it, and to me, that's just, that way is just more interesting then.
Well, I think it's an opportunity to talk. She gave you an opportunity to talk about that. I'll give you an example. I dated a transsexual for 9 months-ish, okay? And prior to ever being in a relationship with a transsexual, I've dated a few here and there for a few moments, and then I had a 9-month relationship with one. And prior to that, I had written a piece when I went over to Guam before I was bisexual, but clearly... becoming bisexual was something that certainly was roiling around in my subconscious when I wrote I wrote this bit about being in Guam, and there was somebody that I'd been buying drinks for, and the booker came over to the table, and he goes, you got a minute? I need to talk to you. And he pulls me aside, and he goes, you know that beautiful woman with the huge tits that you've been buying drinks for all night? She's got a dick. And I'm not going to do the bit the way I did it on stage here. The joke was, at some point though, you know, when you're $80 into a night, you know what I'm saying? That was the bit, right? And then I tagged it out with this awful, awful, awful joke. And I've seen other comics do similar types of jokes. And it's an awful joke. And I tagged it out with, I even gentrified it a little, but I'm still embarrassed I wrote it and did it. Somebody's getting laid is where it turns after all that money spent.
Rapey.
No, it wasn't rapey at all.
Oh.
Somebody's getting laid. Don't get me wrong. She's going to have to hold her nuts up out of the way, because when her nuts start slamming into my nuts, I'm probably going to lose my erection. Now, the sentiment in that joke is homophobic.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sure.
And when I wrote that joke, I did that joke, and audiences ate it up. Because homophobia works in comedy.
Yeah.
So it worked really well. But I don't do that line if I'm doing those ideas anymore. And if I ever do that line, it's going to be to fuck with the audience. It's going to be to turn it on the audience and go and then go back around and go, guess what you just did? And that's what I'm saying you might want to consider doing. You know what I mean? Talk honestly about... and I watched your comedy. Dude. You are a fucking bare thread of reality. It's beautiful.
I just like it how he came in here, a perfectly straight man, and now he's absolutely homosexual.
Polyamorous,
now he's
bisexual.
A completely homosexual and has no interest in women at all. I like how we got him to go that way.
Women I really at like all.
He's giving up the 20-year-old pussy.
I know.
Sounds to me like Jimmy's trying to kick his own closet door down.
Jimmy's holes. Also polyamorous, so the whole table...
No, he's not.
Oh, you're not?
No, why'd you think that?
No, I like pie.
He likes pie.
Always what he's... He won't... You can't nail Jimmy down to a position on anything.
Where'd you meet this Mexican girlfriend, Jimmy?
Oh, she was actually working at the comedy clubs.
Oh, cool. That's great.
Aren't she works lucky? For... Where's she work? Which one?
Not anymore.
Oh, she's out?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
I wouldn't let her work. She's a girl.
She has stayed... She has stayed home girlfriend?
No, it's more like a box.
Yeah, see, well, it's funny, you can nail him down to the psychotic shit. You just can't nail him down to anything substantial.
Well, we didn't get to any of our topics.
Yeah, well, in your show, are we really out of time already?
5 minutes,
you've
got
to be shitting me.
4 minutes.
4 minutes.
All right, we're going to do a couple more minutes. But in your show, you talk about your dad tweeting you, Steve.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, as a comic, you try to watch... You try to figure out where the material is going to head. You do that too, probably, right? When you
sure,
watch a comic.
Oh yeah, of course.
So I really was quite sure and pleasantly surprised that you didn't go where I thought you were going to go, and that is, Mom, give the phone back to Dad. I thought you were going to say that your mom was typing those things and you didn't realize it or something like that.
Oh.
But at the end, it's your dad's being this really sweet, almost feminine, loving figure. Via
my dad's not bi, if that's what you're getting.
No.
He will be by the end of the show.
Well, this is almost like your situation with your mom.
Yeah, it is. It sounds like it. And then you follow it up. It was a wonderful surprise, which is the best comedy. You follow up these tweets that you're getting from your dad about, you know, loving you and missing you and all these hugs and kisses. And then you tell a story about how he used to beat the shit out of you and broke sticks on your legs.
Yeah.
And
probably had it coming.
There's no way to get a guy to talk Mexican. What's the old awful joke? What do a cue ball and a Mexican have in common? The harder you hit him, the more English you get out of him. It's the worst joke ever written.
Terrible. Isn't Steve's laughing.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm a comedian.
Yeah, comics don't care, man. Yeah. I totally connected with that. I was raised really, really badly. Abandoned by a dad, half abandoned by a mom who's now one of the best friends in the world. She's gone full circle and just become an absolute gem of a human being. And my dad has remained a worthless POS. So I don't have a relationship with my dad. Do you have a relationship with dad at all?
Oh, yeah. We hang out like every week.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, we go to the movies. That's a big thing we do.
Does he know you're completely gay and hate women?
No.
Wait a minute.
That's where we are now, right?
He knew we had an open marriage and we were polyamorous and it really bothered him.
That bugged him?
I think it bugged him because he was afraid that I was going to get hurt.
Yeah,
because it is more. I mean, you know, either way, you can get hurt, but that seems like more of a risky thing.
It's not, in my opinion. It's not. In my opinion, the odds of a relationship going south are not made more significant by polyamory or swinging.
Oh yeah, I believe that too. But yeah. It's hard to explain to your like older Mexican dad,
especially when you don't even talk his fucking language. Yeah. Right? All right. That's it, ladies and gentlemen, for the free version of episode 69, another show that went on without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. I want to thank our guests, Jimmy Palombi.
Hola.
And Steve Hernandez. Steve, where can people find out about you?
You can find me, our website is respectthedangerofknives.com, and you can find me at Big Hearn on Twitter.
Big Hearn.
Big Hearn.
Hearn.
Like
Hernandez. Hernandez. Yeah. Got it. Big Hearn.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
I'm going to be looking for a hole somewhere.
That's it. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson, and our camera switcher, Samantha Creamer. Tune in next week when our guests will be...
One of our guests will be Scott Neary.
Oh, yeah. One of them will be. And we'll be talking about...
Pancake juggling.
He actually juggles pancakes, doesn't he?
Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Skeptic Take moderator, Joseph Mama's Boy Swam, and our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Milf Toy Winter.
He fucks old women. You've been listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson.
And we are Skeptically Yours. Skeptically Yours is a product of our ever-expanding universe.
Can I get a word in now?
Okay, go ahead.
Well, the show.
Emery, I was wondering if you and I could.
Sorry, honey. Sorry. He's the guest. You got to treat the guest.
I hate you.